Great. Thank you for joining the Being teleclass series in December of 2019. Like to invoke, incant, proclaim, and pronounce blessings. So many blessings for Kuan Yin in my life and in this world, and for the capacity and gift I received to listen to her teachings and to the teachings of not only Kuan Yin, but this posse, this group of enlightened guides that are directing and showing information, healing, and what's possible here on Earth and teachings. And I feel very humbled. I was a little anxious coming into the call today, and as I've been preparing to talk about being and being changes, you know, there are just like my natural nerves with sharing information that I haven't quite found written in any other bodies of religious or spiritual knowledge. And so I'm sure it's there. I'm sure these experiences have been happening probably since the beginning of time. I don't know how or why or if that's true, but I feel it's humbling to bring something different and to be different in the ways that I am. And it's that's never to make any other teachings or bodies of knowledge or teachers or gurus or healers wrong. You know, I am. So I don't intend to put this information out as a as an against or a juxtaposition to other things you know, but as an add and a possibility that the language and the healing that's coming through is that it's the right time for us to hear it. So thank you for showing up. Thank you for all of you for being present in my world and the different ways that you are. And I really appreciate you all. So, yeah, here we go. Let's start with three cleansing breaths. I know that some people are driving or playing this in the background while they're cooking or taking care of children, and just I trust you with your bodies to stay safe and to listen. And it's not uncommon, and in fact it's very common, that when the healing and the information coming in is touching our own personal healing edge, it can start to feel heavy or confusing or dense, and that's normal and natural. Sometimes that makes us sleepy. And sometimes it just excites us. Again, that's not wrong, but just be aware if you're in motion while you're listening, just be aware of your own body and what you need, and feel free to take care of yourself always, everyone. And taking those breaths and centering in and releasing. It's just such a powerful experience for me to witness consciousness unfolding and unfurling. And I'm always so absolutely amazed at the process of a mind and a heart and a soul discovering a new paradigm, a new possibility, an insight. Aha. And I have no agendas on what those insights are. So as much as I ask questions or teach bodies of information, I'm fascinated and thrilled and inspired to encourage you to be you, for you to use that information to discover who you are, even if that goes against something I say. And so please think freely for yourself and know that you're welcome, all of you is welcome. The parts that align, the parts that oppose, the part that doesn't know, everything in between, you're welcome to be you. You are anyway. You don't need my permission, but I know that in the role of a teacher, we have a lot of power. So I just want to be aware to acknowledge that I don't ever want to power over you. And so thank you for, again, just being willing to listen and to excavate and explore your own you-ness. Here we go. And again, I give thanks to Kuan Yin and this blessed channel, and I hear so clearly the multitudes of gratitude. Wow. In the realms of embodiment, all exists as one. And even though I will teach the parts and pieces distinctly as vibrational understandings, I never mean to fragment or separate embodiment. The body, the being, the soul, the spirit, everything, God, universe, dimensions, time, space, all consciousness is one. And for the purposes of our teachings, I'm teasing apart an aspect of embodiment called being and being consciousness so that we can understand the magnitude of each differentiated part, but not to encourage segregation internally or externally. Being, body, soul, spirit. Soul, the traveling, timeless river, karmic dance and journey of existence. Whew, soul. Your soul exists beyond anything I can probably ever understand for sure. Soul, where I sense that the karma derives from, where I sense the choice to embody as a body comes from, where I lens the purpose of one's existence, soul, as it merges, fuses, and manifests body. The merging, fusing, manifestation of a body comes through the soul's expression of a being. Thus, the being is a consciousness, a consciousness unto itself, and yet never differentiated or separate from its mission to fuse, form, mulch, compose, play, inspire the body and soul together, making room for the spirit to dance and play and effervesce its animation. The being, I see it in the as a nucleus in the body. It's river through the soul. It creates a nucleus in the body that's tethered. Literally, I see it tied into the spine and every part of the body. And its energy, it fuses infinitely in all directions. It is infinite because that being is capable of and does transmute, transform, and transmit the consciousness you need through energy and space and dimensions into the form, which is the body, dense, finite form. Breathe on that. Those who know me well have heard me say many times, and constantly, and I keep learning what it means because I say it and they learn something new. But your body is the center of an infinite being, a soul expressing through form. This infinite being is the communicator, a guide, helper, a resource for the body and soul to learn from one another. As the body transmits information through being to soul about Earth, and as the soul transmits information timelessly through many dimensions, all over universes, in through the being to the body. And if God, divine source, leads all, merged, fused with every bit, the body embodies a question. Each being speaking through the soul embodies into the body with a question of why, what, how, what, where you exist for. Like, what is love? Might be a birth question. Or does love exist after annihilation? Might be another question that one is born for. I don't see purpose as rigid. I see purpose as inquiry, curiosity. And the ever absolutely curious mind heals just by being curious with no agenda. So if this is true, we're born with this being and a soul, and in the concept of being changes, the possibility of a being changing, I am not talking about changing your soul. The soul thread stays constant. In my own journey, I learned through facing my karma head on and death in the eyes, you know, I understood many years after I made this transition what had happened. It took me a while to understand what had happened. I was so in it. But I learned that I had actually completed my initial being's karmic question, that was done. And that what for me was death head on was that completion and one agreement that my soul had that the body would live for just that. And that when that was done, that would possibly be the end of my body too. And I knew I felt a negotiation. I didn't understand what it was at the time, but a negotiation where my soul was sharing something different. Which is like, yes, my dear, you will complete your original karma, and then you will continue as a body, and that it is your mission. It is my mission to be here in the curiosity of what's possible if the body can exist for a second being, for a second incarnation, for the evolution of its original purpose. So I completed a question. And then my soul, not me, not my mind, not what I wanted, not what I understood. I actually had surrendered to death, but my soul didn't. And therefore released a whole being out of my body and placed another one in, one soul. So that second being came into my body and threaded to my nucleus and expressed herself with my next mission. And you can see that my mission through my whole life, there's some constancy in it, and yet there's a marking point of change where I became an even stronger channel to serve Earth, to be here as a participant, and also to forward my own mission with so much less of my karmic baggage in tow that I wasn't just picking a new being to have another one, and it wasn't just anything. But it was deliberately to have the experience of awakening at the next level so that I could show up and be here and live for the contribution on Earth and the experience of my body in that way. It's been a powerful change and mission, and everything within and through me changed my shape of my body and the foods I like to eat. It began to inform differently as the inquiry of my existence changed, the question of my existence changed. So did every bit of consciousness that came with it. Never losing my memories, for my body learned everything it originally needed to learn as a scaffolding, as a structure to support the change. That original question for me was very much like, I came in with the curious of eyes of like, wow, can love heal everything? I'm going to live for love. Can love heal everything? Oh boy, did I try to heal everything with love. Oops, not all my business. So healing everything with love, you know, is what I tried, everything. I tried to heal the demons and ghosts and the vile abusers, and I put myself in the face of a lot of trauma and tragedy. And yeah, on one level, love inside me can heal everything in me on one level for the communion to my being, body and soul, from myself, that beings don't get broken, yeah? So there was a place I learned, a humble place of like, oh, my God, divine connection to me doesn't have to get ruined by the tragedies on earth. So I can preserve and love will heal always. And yet love is humble as a human. It's not my job. And in fact, it's not okay for me to just try to love everybody into the changes I think they need. So the young mind of me wanting everybody to heal the way I wanted them to heal, or calling healing my version of healing, or the grandiosity to think that I can love you enough that, you know, I can change you even if when you're not asking for change. Humble, for sure. Yeah. And I came with my next question, was like, oh, wow, love myself first, more than I've ever loved before. And in that birthing of deep honor and self-love, to understand the human's limitations. For me, self-love meant understanding my limitations, understanding the limitations of my body, understanding my job is not to muck with your karma, is not to force and to never have an agenda for other. I could therefore then steep myself in a love for humanity that allows me to show up and really find out in my second inquiry as a being, ha, if God divine love exists, where do I belong? That's all I needed to know. For if I follow and listen to where I am instructed to be and who I am instructed to be and share myself as, healing will happen around me. Because that is what I bring. But not because I do it to you. Because those of you looking for the information and consciousness my body emits will awaken on your own. Just with a little permission. So my being change was an evolution of my entire purpose. A completion, grieving and letting go and ending and completion of that original karma and work that I had to do to restitute, to resolve, to pay back, self-examine my transgressions, to humbly realign my power, and to do whatever was required to complete that karmic mission, yeah? And then I birthed. So people sometimes write me and say, can I have a being change? And I appreciate the desire. And I'll say a couple of things. One is that it's not required to have a being change in order to have an exalted life. Like, that may not be your soul's karma. And that's not wrong. Like, people are stunning, and healers and enlightened ones show through with or without a being change. It's not required. Also, you might, as you message to me, know something, that you've had these two beings and that there is a readiness. Or you might be asking for me to check with you, which I'm happy to do. Yeah. And beings don't just change. So what I humbly came to learn years after, and my being change happened in surgery and through ritual. I humbly came to learn years afterwards that beings don't just launch out, because if they did, we would all die. We're fragile. So if a being leaves and there is no being left in the body, there is no body. It won't live. I've now sat as a death doula next to many in their progression out of bodies, and it's a beautiful and also somewhat terrifying that how quickly, if you remove the being, the body's life just dissolves. Even sometimes I still feel the soul thread holding the tendrils of life, making sense of the energy of the soul still present in the room, making sense of the body's journey. And yet, you know, as the being goes, the body lets go. We can, seems to be, live without spirits. That's depressing or anxious, but I haven't yet seen that without the spirit, the way I define it, that the body will end. It just feels less joyful, less connected. The spirit being that, again, the animation, the play, the connection, the essence of the full embodiment. So when body, being, and soul line up, the spirit is like the poof of life that happens, that begins to be this explorative journey on how one will express that embodiment into the world. The sounds, the flavors, all of it. So let's take a breath on that. That was a lot of information to start with here. And exhaling fully. Good. And just feel, what if you really are this a body that's tiny compared to an infinite being, no matter how big you are, and your body is the center of this infinite being, then that being really is your life force. It is the communion of your soul to your body, and it is the actual birthing place of consciousness. It's the exaltation, the understanding, everything we're looking for is in our being. For the being, consciousness permeates on behalf of, to serve, your soul's intention to be a body. Therefore, everything we need to know is somewhere in the realms of our consciousness. Even if we use others to awaken that information, it's awakened and received through being. This aspect of embodiment I call soul speak. Soul speak. The communication, body, being, and soul. The expression to spirit. How that works. Why every single second of your embodiment is soul communication. Those things that tear us up inside. Those things that inspire us. And everything in between is your soul and your body making sense of why you're here. What hurts you, what inspires, as I said. Soul speak. When the being changes, the timbre, the actual frequencies, the vibration of the being shifts for the new being. For lack of better language, old and new, one is not better than the other. It sounds like I'm saying that, but it's not. They're just different purposes. If you're here to complete karmic work that causes pain, in order to do that, or maybe you got lost and there's pain because of that, or, you know, these things happen, it doesn't make your embodiment less worthy and valuable and powerful than if you're here expressing joy. We all have different layers to move through. The changing of the being is a changing of purpose, but that soul is one soul. Therefore, the beings know each other. They've been working together. Often I perceive that the new being has been around for a long time before we are ready to change it. And that being has maybe served like a higher self. Like we're already been communicating. When the being changes, the old being becomes a guide. It exalts also. And it's there to help you still in all the ways you'll have to make sense of every bit of your life from the moment you were conceived. That purpose intact, without the density of the body to work through, that being becomes illuminated, lit up, available as our helper. And the new being becomes the purpose and the central chamber for present time embodiment. You don't lose memories. They sometimes alter to make sense of the new mission. You'll understand things differently from your whole life that sometimes you didn't understand until that being changes. What I was saying is that a being doesn't just leave. We can't just push it out. If so, we'd be even more vulnerable than humans already are. It requires a powerful ritual, a careful support. And what I was finding is that, like me, people maybe were changing beings when they had accidents, injuries, when they got unconscious somehow. Something bad would happen, and then the person's being would, if it were ready, if that's what it was trying to do, it might happen in a moment like that. That's very difficult, because if you're already suffering with, I had cancer, you know, if you're already suffering with an illness, and then that's the changing of the being, then you still have the body to clean up. Like the body, for some of us, has been in a war zone for so long that even with the new being change, there's a lot of cleanup work, and this progression can take many years to fully complete. The being change itself, if we were to instigate that, to do that ritual, the first 3 months are a very tender time of detoxing and releasing old energies and lining up new energies. There's integration. Usually somewhere between 3 to 4 months, there's a sense of like, oh, I feel something shifted. Feeling different, engaged different, sometimes right away, depending upon how much cleanup work you do in preparation. And these days I'm working more and more with people to take the time to prepare for the being changes by doing sometimes even a year's worth of work first. Finding that I can learn sooner that a being change is coming so that we don't have to be in a crisis to get there. Yeah. It's a powerful ritual. I have not really taught. Only one other person really has done them without me, because I've been aware of the intensity and power to this ritual, and I'm just in some ways coming out of hiding myself to say, we need to learn, you know, and teach and receive. And this work, it seems that, you know, for many lifetimes, our bodies didn't live more than 30, 40 years, maybe. And if we keep ending that early and then starting over, it's hard to get consciousness to change in an earth that needs the progression of a mind and an evolution of a body that's had enough developmental stages to be able to then get on with doing the healing work required. So if we keep starting as babies, it's hard to actually get the changes to happen in consciousness. So one of the things Kuan Yin has named is that the being changes are part of, are coming in more so now because Earth is really needing us, really, really needing us to evolve our consciousness. And that there are these light beings that are coming in to embody with us, that are part of our soul's choice. And these evolved beings are coming in to really help guide the revolution on Earth that's required. It's not going to work to just keep doing what we've done before and hope it changes things. We really need a new world, you know, a new order, And the body of teachings coming through me has been so profound in that it's bringing this being consciousness is bringing with it a lot of information on how to embody differently and how to show up. How to show up in a whole new way. So I'm excited about that. I won't dive in there. But so being, the embodiment of the being to the body as the soul's progression and the cleaning up required to do that can be anything. It can be lots of things. But this progression of being changes that are happening, sometimes it's just a being. An embodiment means the purification of the connection to the body and being and soul. And that will feel like a being change. It's just a purification of the presence so that one can understand and be in more communion with the consciousness of their own being and not just everything going on. Sometimes it's an uncloaking where we have came in with this enlightened light being, and we got scared enough to cover it up with, like zip it up in identities and habits to protect ourselves or and or to regulate for timing. And there can be many, many moments of uncloaking that happened as one reveals to themselves first who they really are. Okay, let's take three or four breaths together. Purifying body, being, soul, spirit. For the embodiment of you, in whatever stage or progression of you that you are, be it to awaken and even more powerful presence to your being consciousness, therefore your soul body communication, or be it to prepare for the ritual of a being change, or to understand and synergize, integrate a being change that has already happened for you. And we give thanks. And we call in all of the enlightened guides and teachers to swoop and sweep and clear through each and every one of us, releasing everything that's not ours and all of what we carry of others, all that we drag into our reality, all that we play with, understand, don't understand, the confusion and questions about how to embody. And for just a moment, we're going to just sweep them clear, releasing everything that's really not ours and gifting it to the light of consciousness. In this body of knowledge, the light of consciousness is that part of our being that connects in with God's source on every dimension, Earth, on every dimension, all universes, and our own embodiment, and is able to release and do the sorting and filtering for us that as a body, we can't always understand what to do with this energy that isn't ours. But let's gift it to the light of consciousness and trust and have faith that that which is ours to work with will show up and that which is not can be released. Activate change and generate healing immediately. Good. Okay, and let's breathe in again and purify all that. And imagine your tiny little body has the resource of a whole being that's helping to make sense for you of why your soul chose this at all, or how you got here, or what even I need to know right now. What awareness could you have right now? If you have an infinite being and all the awareness required to be you, what would your being know for your body right now. Just feel. What does my being, this infinite being, energy, space, consciousness, intuition, perception, awareness, all pertaining to why I'm here, which all pertains to how I am a contribution in this place on earth. All of that. For everyone is a contribution 100% of the time. We contribute by being alive. Our spirits may flavor that with jobs. Some for our survival, so that we can keep being alive, and some for the service to others. But we're always emitting energy through our form into this earth, affecting one another 100% of the time. So if this infinite being, if your body's in the center of that and can receive what that being might know for you, what that part of you knows for this part of you, the human mind part of you, what does your being know that your body needs right now? I'm going to unmute all of the callers so that people can share. You can call your name out if you want to share any insight you're having. So if your body really is, if you really could have faith, even if you don't fully understand it, you'd be like, oh, that's right, I'm in the center of something. And that if there is consciousness available that helps me to understand what my body is experiencing right now, what would you know? What would you be able to know right now? Would anyone like to share?
I got that there's nothing to worry about, and it's all good.
Good. Beautiful. So breathe that in. What is it? What are those words feel like in your body when you hear them? Where do you feel those words in the body?
I feel them like as a bit of maybe like tension or anxiety in the chest region. And I kind of interpret that as meaning like there's a force in me which is pushing me on that will continue to push me on.
Right. A force that says there's an energy that's holding and carrying you in your heart. That's regardless of everything else going on is saying, it's going to be okay. We got this. Come on, we got this. Let's just keep breathing through, right? And it can feel like tension, especially when we're in present time being like, how is this supposed to be working? Something's not, lining up yet, and, right? So I love that. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Anybody else like to share an awareness you had or having?
I'll share. This is Chloe.
Okay. Hi, Chloe.
Hi. I keep just getting for me, living in the integrity to my being feels like paramount at this point. And to choose people, situations, experiences, everything that I do to be aligned to that expression and that connection.
Beautiful.
Without getting, crazy dogmatic about it, but, giving myself space to make mistakes, but it feels like there's a real calling in to be in total integrity to the alignment and communion of my being.
Sounds like a surrender moment. That any place you've been trying to control it or make it into what you thought you wanted it to be, or following energy that might not be that, that you're stepping into a more powerful willingness to maybe not know even what this means and to actually live it even more fully.
Totally.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Right, because I think that we misidentify that in a way. I think we're all looking for that experience of infinite being, and I actually think, if I think of addiction, I feel like probably most addictions sit there because we're wanting to feel sort of that high can be a way of feeling like we're in some other energy that's bigger than us, right?
Like, right.
We like that. If I imagine, and I know you and I have talked about this just in, because you've been around me a lot and in all the healing work. but I think that you know, I think that from the minute we're conceived, we only get conceived in the middle of someone else's being. Like, we don't get here without being in the middle of another universe. And first, those few little cells are in the middle of a whole body, but whatever that body emits as a being is also merging and fusing with who we think we are, right? And we talk about babies in their newborn developmental phases, how long it takes for a baby to actually know the difference that, like, you're not me and I'm not you, but I'm separate from you. That can take months and months and months for a child to begin to differentiate, like, oh, you're not me and I'm not you. So we come like this. You know, we come like this. And whatever was fused in that original energy field is what we are most familiar with. And if that energy field was filled with pain or confusion or upset or grief, we might think that that's a connection to our infinite being. We might get confused, right?
Right.
So we might think that my being, I might feel grief, upset, addiction, an energy of some sort, and think that's a connection to my infinite being if my original embodiment was fused in the energy of those emotions. Am I making any sense?
You are to me.
Okay. So I guess what I'm hearing in what you're saying is like, oh, I could clean that up again. I can get even more ready than I've ever been, and I'm always ready, so I'm ready again. You know, like, I can get even more ready to be like, what else did I think was my infinite being that might not have been? And what can I now receive as the communication from my infinite being? Right? So thank you. That was helpful.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyone else?
I can share.
Mm-hmm.
This is Amy.
Hi.
The message I got was that life can be pleasurable.
Ooh. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So how many gazillions of times did you decide that you're here just to do the work and therefore, like, you know, the pleasure is against the rules somehow. So even when you're having it, are you feeling, you know, guilt or confusion about whether or not you get to have pleasure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, boy, and how many of us have that? So let's clear anything that blocks that and any way in which that doesn't have to then create a pleasure seeker who's only looking for pleasure and therefore becoming just distorted that way, but that, like, oh, it includes the pleasures, it includes feeling, and maybe some of those feelings could be good, you know, maybe I could have some joy and fun and sensations of ecstasy and love and connection, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Could actually feel good. Thank you. Beautiful awareness.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yeah, thank you. Okay, so feeling. I think that piece I just said, I'd like to say it again, that Chloe stimulated. I've been thinking a lot about how confusing it is to understand the difference between the energy of my infinite being and just energy that I'm accustomed to living in. Some of us don't know what it feels like to have a lot of energy with us, and we're not aware of that. We haven't allowed ourselves to be aware of the energy being that we are. And some of us attach ourselves to other people's energy because it feels good. Or we try to merge ourselves with something to feel more alive in that way. So there's like layers to that, you know, both where I merge and fuse to get a feeling of energy and how that replicates the merging and fusing of our original conception and birth. And then also how I might dissociate to think that that's the way I'm going to feel myself. And maybe some of us do better when we're all alone. We can feel free to feel all kinds of things. But then we don't know how to merge and fuse, right? So this layers of attachment and differentiation, which I'd like to talk next time about more, is just what is that? You know, how do we know how much to merge and how much is too much merging and how much to individuate and how far is too far in that way? But for today, this sense of like, what is being? Like, how do I know what that is? And how many of us have misunderstood the communication that we thought was coming from our higher self that might have just been coming from someone or something else. And so are you willing, or each of you willing, to play with the possibility that maybe your infinite being is going to communicate in ways that you haven't even learned yet? And are you willing to know that? And for anybody who wants that, let's just clear. Anything that blocks you from showing up to be in the exploration of being. If I have a being that is vibrationally attuned to the soul and body that I am, and that attunement of energy is always there, whether I can feel it, see it, hear it or not. But if that attunement of energy is always there, whether I know it or not, what is required so that I could actually tune the channel in a little bit more to know that frequency and not just be hearing a million other frequencies or thoughts or things that are being told about me, around me, yeah? And activate change and generate healing immediately. Beautiful. Anyone else want to share anything that comes up with that? Am I making sense that we could get confused about what energy really is, an energy that is specifically attuned to our existence, you know, our own purpose for being a contribution versus just energy that could be existing? Does that make sense?
Hi, it's Cynthia.
Hi, Cynthia.
I know for me, I do hear a lot of energy, so it's helpful to be able to distinguish.
Mm-hmm. Right, and do you feel willing to learn on a new level what that might be?
I think it's essential for me to be seen.
Yeah, it feels required now. Yeah. Right, because like it's so easy to just hear voices, you know, like and it's just so easy to hear other things. And it's mm-hmm. easy when we don't know that we can be, like when we haven't learned that being occupied in our own frequency is a shift into a channel that is always available to us to support us. When we don't know how to find that, then sometimes anything that feels like powerful energy, we can think we're supposed to listen to, which isn't all mm-hmm. good, you know? I mean, even if it's yeah. good things, it might not all pertain to us. We might have just tuned into someone else's channel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how to get more ferocious in the request. It's like, okay, wait a minute. If I really had faith that me, personally, this body has a whole set of vibrational connections to shit that I need. And not just all kinds of other stuff, but things that are pertaining to why my body exists here and what my purpose is, then how do I get myself even more deliberate to say, that's what I want to hear. The rest of this stuff can just go away. I need to hear that. That's what's going to make me safe here. That's what's going to help me to feel awakened and safe on this planet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. And just, you know, I think for you and I, it's stuff that we've been texting, messaging about, on the messenger. But I feel like it all goes in here. There's all this going on in there, right? So when we aren't aware, we might not know what else is coming with us. You know, what else is attached to us, or what we've attached to, or, you know, other things that have been maybe controlling our embodiment that we haven't been able to see yet. So that conversation we're having, I think, is a great conversation and really pertains to this.
Definitely.
Yeah, thanks. Anybody else like to share something?
I'll share. This is Adam. Hi.
Hi, Adam.
I just want to share that the general conversation here has really informed my inquiry into the purpose of my being, and to kind of clear or dispel any preconceived notions that I have around what that even is, even in the current time, about what my present being is supposed to be being or my past being was. So it's really just brought me to a kind of deep connected place to my current being and being in humility around finding its purpose and really kind of being with that.
Yeah. That makes perfect sense to me. So the again, even more ferocious listening to be like, oh, I need more communication with the being that I am, because that's how my soul is going to help me guide me with my embodiment and why I'm on this earth right now and what I'm supposed to do with that and what really is mine, you know, in terms of how I show up and how it feels even to be me physically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Was there more to that?
I guess there was more just about really being humble in the process and really not, I guess there's a bunch of grid and societal belief structures that seem to be in front of me that I realize I'm lensing through that really don't feel required anymore. So it's a kind of a big transition between those belief structures that came with me and the ones that I recognize are more generative for my current embodiment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And religion's a piece of that, you know, belief structure around gender is a piece of that, roles of father, mother, you know, nuclear family is a piece of that. So it's really just being humble in that inquiry is to not shame myself into feeling wrong for believing certain things that I was just led to believe that I recognize now not necessarily as healthy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and that's what I was saying. Sometimes once you have these being changes, you might look back and assess the things that you did and learned and knew and experienced or even believed differently. And that doesn't mean they were wrong when you had them. You know, it's just like sometimes we're ready to understand it differently, and I hear that happening, and your mind frame is starting to make sense of some of the ways in which you were, you know, cultured and entrained on a new level, and that feels really healthy.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Thanks.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to share? The sharing feels so helpful. I'm not sure for others, but it feels like it gets context into the call here for understanding what we're all processing.
I feel like something's coming up. For when you were talking about kind of what we know in the womb and like that energy, how we can kind of mistake it for our being. Yep. Mm-hmm. I kind of noticed like what feels like a kind of like almost like a given or natural part of my being, which probably isn't, is kind of like an emptiness or like not like a like a coldness. And
getting shivers. Yep.
Yeah, and I like my little baby niece. I was just like playing with her the other day, and just kind of she had a little accident, and it was just this huge. It brought up a lot for me. Like I just felt so devastated. And like as you like during this call, like that's been coming up a lot for me. So I just, I don't know. I feel like it has something to do with like that mothering, or some sort of, I don't know. I feel like they have something to do with each other, and maybe they don't, but I also feel, called to share. So I'm not sure what that might bring.
So I'm going to put it in this context, just for you to play with. When I go back to soul speak, right? And that the interpretation of everything, so no matter what belongs to who, no matter where it comes from, no matter how many times we look at that realm, there's still the significance, the importance to say, huh, why is my soul and why is my body loud about this? Whether it's what happened with your niece, whether it's that, why did I remember that emptiness? Like, what is it in me? In my soul, that I'm trying to understand that that emptiness has been such a pervasive experience, like, or expectation in life. Like, so what would I, what do I need to know about that? Or how is that part of what I'm bringing or wanting to bring to earth? How is what happened with your niece? Like, what about that is lingering? And how is that something that's so important to why you exist, right? Because that will help then find the part that's yours in it, and that sifts us away from just being stuck in the energy of an experience versus being able to interpret that experience and therefore then do something with it effectively, right?
Yeah.
That's a journey. It's a little bit of an exercise for yourself, but that it feels like a good one for you, because it seems like, okay, why that? Why is that still pervasively? Why am I holding those things, you know? Beautiful.
Yeah.
And how do we awaken that, which is, because that knowing that kicks in then, or that self-understanding or awareness that kicks in when we when we ask to perceive ourselves through the lens of soul, body, being. We say, okay, being, help me understand this. Why is my body stuck on this experience? And come on, I want to understand my soul. So come on, give me a little more. I want to understand, what is that about me? How? Why? What am I, how curious can I get about, like, why is that important? You know, then boom, all of a sudden then I'm in my own being. And anything wasn't mine is just going to get out of the way, because my ferociousness is going to lead me to my embodiment. Why you're here, what you're here to contribute on earth. Yeah, I'll be curious. I'm curious to hear where that leads you later on.
Yeah.
Feel free to share with me if you want, but I could see that being a nice, a good evolution to play in.
Yeah, it feels like a solid line to kind of hold on to, anchor me.
Right? Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
And for anyone else who wants to do that too, like, we could play with the exercise between now and next Saturday of this, you know, which is like, if I'm just pondering what has been loud in my life, whether it's in present time or something that's more pervasive that I've had my whole life, can I ponder it not from like, why is it happening? Like, how do I make it go away? But more from, what is that? Like, why that particular experience? What did I... What am I curious? Like, why did that one stick when 50 other things that happened didn't? You know, it's like, I'll be curious where that leads people, but I would encourage that journey if you have the time for it. I think it would be useful. Good. Thank you. Would anyone else like to share? you all. So I'll say again, a being change, it isn't just any being. And there are a lot of beings out there. I mean, we don't really want to just mistakenly become another being and take on all that karma too, you know? So the being change is a soul progression that's designed and asked for through the soul, specifically for the evolution of your body and to bring more consciousness to you and Earth, more of a contribution, yeah, in a healthier or new way. And so therefore, again, that's the careful awareness of making sure to say, oh, I don't want to just need a new being. Like, I don't need a new being that's doing something different that's going to be painful, right? There's a lot of them out there. And to also suggest again that I'm not tagging that if a being change is not in order for you, that means that you are not going to progress or evolve, and that your consciousness isn't already stunning and vital and enlightened. Yeah. So there's no splits in that, and there isn't a better and worse. It's really a choice, a deliberate choice to evolve your soul's purpose for the body you are on this planet, and how that is, how you get to, you know, be in that conversation with yourself all the time, regardless of where the beings are, you know? And so I just, I give thanks to all of you. I'm going to take another few breaths together and just activate that divinity in every cell and particle of each of us, remembering that your divine embodiment, it isn't required to chase something anywhere else, and that who you are right in this moment, no matter what's happening, no matter where your evolution is or isn't, that right now you exist in pure consciousness, and that is in every air molecule you breathe, pure consciousness. And if we can release all the grids of right and wrong and up and down hierarchies, and just for a moment feel the tendrils to people who are sharing this call with us, for each other, and say, whoa, every person here just existed, and their existence has just guided this call and any change I've made in my consciousness. Thank you, for you have all participated, and we're in equal value in that. So holding the love and care for one another, and the gratitude, the showing up counts, and that we can't even know it sometimes, but just by being, just by listening, by having the phone on the counter and cleaning my kitchen, I might be making a huge change in someone else's life. You may, and in fact, I'm sure you are. So let's feed the network energetically of where we have each other, and that there's millions of people who are all out in the world hoping for change in an evolution that might be similar to what we hope for. And in all those places, let's link up our energy and say, yes, we want to be a contribution for others to heal and for ourselves to heal. And we can do that in a way that's effortless through the greater extension of our being, that it isn't just a drain of the body, but it's a presence we emit that says yes. And when we do it, vibrates eternally. That healing is possible, and that change is possible, and that consciousness can evolve, and that all the things that are possible in this evolution of life that would allow for more healing on the earth and the planet and the beings on the planet, that we give thanks and express that gratitude through every cell and particle of each and every one of us and into eternity, and activate change and generate healing immediately.